Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
So thank you for staying with me. Thank you for being part of my day. I'm Jim Blasingame. You're listening to the Small Business Advocate Show, and I'm glad you're here. We're kicking off our 24th year of the broadcast, and I want to do that by talking to you about something that I've been thinking about, something that I wrote, and something you can find on my blog. I call it the New Pharisees. You know, folks, November the 7th, the Saturday after the election day, November the 7th, 2020, is a date that I believe will live in infamy. On that Saturday, following the election, an ignominious convergence of interests created a new and dangerous force. Prior to the election, we asked small business owners, we asked you, which presidential candidate you thought would win. 71% said Trump would win. After the election, we asked them how the unresolved vote process should play out. All the counting and all the controversy, how should it play out? Two-thirds of you said the counting process should be allowed to proceed. Let's find out what happened. Well, regardless of how this election ends, and it's now starting to look like it's going to be a Harris-Biden administration, millions of Americans now fear that winning at the polls isn't enough to overcome a new force. The newly organized machine made up of big tech, Main Street media, Wall Street, the state political machines, and the deep state. All those together have created this new force, which I've named the machine. History is replete with parochial political machines, but this one is a global 21st century model, and it acts like 21st century Pharisees. The unelected group that controlled ancient Israel, Pharisees claim the power of binding and loosing. In other words, they could bind you up or let you go, and you were whomever acted against their interest, even if it was your constitutional right to do so. Parochial political machines in cities like Philadelphia, Detroit, and Chicago are legendary and infamous. But what's new is that the machine has never before been able to link up for a common purpose across the virtual and geographic boundaries with the help of their fellow travelers, all the group in the machine. I want to take a look at what I'm calling the cogs in the machine. First, I'm calling it global corporate. What's new about corporate America is that we should now refer to it as global corporate, not corporate America. Never mind where they were founded or are based. Their allegiance is to whoever they can gain influence from across the geographic, virtual, and sovereign boundaries. From today forward, every American must understand that the U.S. Constitution, revered on Main Street, is merely part of the global corporate reality and one of the issues they must deal with to pursue their goals. Global corporate. Now let's talk about another cog in the machine, the big tech. Big tech is also global corporate, but this sector has weaponry unprecedented in political machine history. They control how we use the internet and have more money than God. For example, almost 40% of earthlings are monthly users of Facebook. Think about that, folks. Billions of earthlings use Facebook every day. Google has 90% of the global online search. Half of every e-commerce dollar is spent with Amazon. It's a tech company, my friends, which creates an annual revenue that would make it 41st on the UN's global GDP list of 194 countries. If they were a country, they'd be 41st. To use a military analogy, big tech can deploy digital aircraft carriers launching stealth fighters at whomever they oppose. And those who they're opposed, you and me, were armed merely with light infantry, with the equivalent of just light infantry against those aircraft carriers. Next is social media. Social media platforms are both global corporate and big tech, but they deserve their own category. Remember, barely 12 years ago, MySpace was the dominant platform that we were just learning about as we were just learning about Facebook and Twitter. Today, hiding behind the gift called Section 230, social media platforms are impinging on the single most powerful ideal in America, in American history, speech. They're impinging on our speech. They have admitted it. And because of the complicit cogs in the machine, it appears now that they will be able to continue to do that. Now the media. As of today, with the assimilation of New York Post, Fox News, and the Wall Street Journal, the Main Street media is now just the media. And in a dangerous alloying of global corporate with the media, the richest man in the galaxy leads that e-commerce giant that I just mentioned, Amazon. The richest man in the galaxy owns one of the most powerful newspapers in the galaxy. Think about that, my friends. Somewhere around 2015, the media began their descent from journalism into unabashed, unveiled partisanism. The behavior of the media in 2020 has elevated George Orwell's prophet status above even the immortal Isaiah and Jeremiah. Now the state. What was once considered the deep state must now be shortened to the state. When you combine the behavior of Comey's FBI, the current Wray FBI, the inexplicable delay of the Durham report, and the politicization of the CIA, any illusion of deepness evaporates. Do we still have a democratic republic when unelected bureaucrats openly impose their will on the direction of the country with impunity? This has happened, folks, recently. And with transparency that would be refreshing if it weren't so unprofessional, one need only to tune into cable news to witness the state and the media linking up as newly removed FBI and CIA directors undermine the institutions that they just left. And next is the pandemic. The 100-year global pandemic has pushed 2020 into the perfect storm category. Of course, the machine didn't create the coronavirus, but its agenda has used the pandemic to achieve critical mass with what Rahm Emanuel called, never let a crisis go to waste. That's the strategy now for 2020 for the machine. Never let a crisis go to waste. The crisis is the coronavirus. And by leveraging the pandemic fear, besides slanting reporting and polling, the machine launched a national early voting mail-in ballot campaign that would not have been possible in any non-COVID year. Only a fine-tuned apparatus could have pulled this off across the country. Remember, folks, most states were not used to doing mail-in ballots. Some were. Most weren't. And the ones that weren't were not ready for this. And consequently, we have the mayhem that we have right now. And, in my opinion of many, an election that didn't turn out the way it should have, the way the people wanted it to be. Obama and I disagreed on many policies, but when he was elected, I wasn't worried about the future of America. It was just the natural gyration of a democratic republic. Something good will ultimately come from it, I thought, many thought. Besides, Obama was elected by the people, fair and square, and it happened twice. Even though those of us who didn't vote for him respected that and moved on to fight another day. But things are different now. Yes, most of the cogs in the machine existed in 2008, but they had not coalesced as the current fine-tuned force communicating across a common frequency. And then that coalescing, they've achieved a critical mass that should concern every American, including Biden supporters. A democratic republic such as ours relies on Newton's third law of motion. For every action, there's an equal and opposite reaction. The never-Trumpers achieved relevant status by finding purchase in the give and take of political motion. Intellectual honesty demanded that these recalcitrant Republicans be regarded as an example of the health of America's seminal and most prestigious and most precious ideal, free speech. But going forward, I propose two important questions that every American should ask. First, how will the never Bidens be treated by the machine? And two, what will America do when the new Pharisees block President Harris's Twitter account? Perhaps one benefit of this year is the end of pretense. All the cogs of the machine are now uncloaked, sailing under the same flag and operating over a common frequency. After 2020, romance, naivete, and ignorance now only exist on the TV Land channel. And finally, to paraphrase the spirit of the powerful poem by Nazi-era German pastor Martin Niemöller, he said, "When they come for my speech and you say nothing, who will speak up when they come for yours?" That's what I'm saying to you. When they come for my speech and you say nothing, who will speak up when they come for yours? America will survive Donald Trump, Joe Biden, and Kamala Harris. But will America survive the machine and the new Pharisees? That's the question. We don't know that yet. 20 hours to us.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.